and do well. Now, his soul is what's important. Your soul is what's important. I want to turn to, you don't have to turn, you know it, and to Matthew, the 5th chapter. And I'm going to just read about 3-4 verses, starting with the 43rd verse. 5th chapter, Sermon on the Mount, straight out of the mouth of the Redeemer. Ye have heard it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. So you've got the commandment. We know those commandments, you know. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love God with everything you have, and your neighbor the same way, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh, now listen to this, he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Guess what? It's going to happen to you and I. Whether you are what you would consider a righteous person or an unrighteous person, things are going to happen. You're going to have the heartaches. You're going to have the problems. He's talking about his children, good or bad, you know? And it's for a purpose. You know, I'm sure that he looks down upon all the family of mankind, just like I look down upon my family that gathers at my house for Sunday dinner, you know? And there's, if all of them are there, there's about 15 to 16, I'd have to count, 15 or 16 of us there. And guess what? They've got problems. And some of them have major problems. How can I say this? Have major problems. Major choices that they've made in their life, and they've been horrible. Okay? Others are innocent. Haven't made any choices yet. And some of them have made good choices in their lives. Guess what? I don't feel any different for any one of those children and grandchildren and daughter-in-laws, one for the other, because of the choices that they make. My love for them is just as great, just as our Heavenly Father's loves every one of you and all of mankind. And he sends good things on the good, the evil. No, the ones that made the wrong choices and on the ones that have made the right choices. And he does it for a purpose, you know. Just like there was a purpose for what happened to Job. And it wasn't just to show the devil, you know. I believe there is purpose in our life. I believe there is purpose for these trials and these temptations that do so easily beset us. And my son asked me for where that came from. And it's my favorite scripture. And I said, he was preaching. I said, ask your Uncle Bob. It's 92. I knew it was on page 92 in the Book of Mormon when Nephi was talking about, oh, wretched man that I am. I knew it was 92. You know, it's one of those things, teacher points to you and you can't think. But he loves us, just all of us, no matter what the choices are. I'm going to turn into the, I'm going to have to move along. Doing too much ad-libbing here. I got a point I want to make. Into 2 Peter. 3rd chapter. Can't give you a page number on this one. 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, 2 verses, starting with reading the 9th and the 10th. And I believe this. This is if one of my favorite scriptures. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. We're going to have the problems, but he's long-suffering. This is 2 Peter, 3rd chapter, starting 9th and 10th verse. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Now listen to that. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I love that. But you know, there's a verse that follows it. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the choices that are therein shall be burned up. This is the day of choices. This is it. He wants you to make the right choices. Guess what? You're going to have rewards here and now. I just read it. I know it's true if you make the right choices. Not only eternal life, and you know it too. You know it too. Think about it. Think about the heartaches that you've seen come upon certain people. And maybe the same heartaches with different families. Which ones handle the heartaches and the problems? Which ones? And not only handle them, they come out stronger. The ones that have the Lord. Isn't it true? Can you say, no, it doesn't happen? Or sometimes, no, it happens every time. Not sometime. Every time it happens. And you can see it, and I can see it. The choices make a difference. You know, I mentioned this. I'm really proud of Kevin. I'm proud of all my sons. But Kevin's the one that preached when I couldn't answer where that was coming from. Really embarrassing, you know, the whole church full. And, Dad, where is this? He does this to me all the time. And I usually, okay, right here, son, turn to it, you know. He really embarrasses me because I couldn't come up with it this time. And I get something different from what he preaches, and I think it's the way with everyone. You know, you get a little something different from every preacher, and that's the way it's supposed to be, and it's good that way. And I remember, and something I didn't get from it, Sue stood up, bore a testimony, I don't know when it was, next prayer service, and said she loved Kevin's sermon because it showed her the simplicity of the gospel, of the doctrine, and how absolutely simple it was. And I want to turn into the Book of Mormon again, 2 Nephi, 13th chapter. Just a second, I'll get you the page number. Starting on page 162, starting at the 19th verse. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, I know by this, that unless a man shall endure to the end in the following the example of the Son of the living God, he cannot be saved. And you know, I want to know a pet peeve of mine? When I first started coming to this church some 38 years ago, and that's before I was married, but I came with my wife because that's the only way I could see my wife on Sunday. When we dated for a solid year. I saw her every day. Okay? The only way, Grandma was strict. You know, Grandma was strict. If you want to see my daughter on Sunday, you will go to church. So, yeah, okay. So I went over and I picked her up. We went to breakfast and then we went to church. But, you know, I really wasn't too interested in what they were saying. You know, I was there because, hey, after church was out, we would go, you know. I could be with my wife, you know, or my future wife. And so, but one of the things that really stuck in my crawl was that phrase right there. Look, now, I have to tell you, I come from a Baptist background, okay? And it really stuck in my crawl when it said, "And he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And unless a man shall endure to the end, he's not going to be saved." Well, I didn't mind. I think it was the term, you know. It made it sound like a horrible thing. I mean, doesn't it? I mean, to somebody who doesn't know actually what these words mean, doesn't that, you got to endure to the end. Like, whoa, this is going to be horrible. It isn't, you know? And I've found that what that really means, and I think it's not me enduring these horrible choices. What it is, unless I allow the Spirit of God to endure with me till the end, I can't be saved. That's what it means, you know? I'm sorry, but I don't know that I heard Jack or any of you preach, but it wasn't explained to me, you know? All I heard before I studied myself was, you got to endure to the end. And you know what that sounds like? I wasn't a kid. You know, I was 20, 21, you know, 22. But it sounds like a horrible thing, doesn't it? It's not a horrible thing. It's the most wonderful thing there is in the world. I wish I could have heard that. You know, I wish I could have heard that. That's not what I want to talk about, but that's just a sidelight. Wherefore, he cannot be saved. Wherefore, do the things which I have told you that I have seen that your Lord and your Redeemer should do. For this cause have they been shown unto me, that ye might know the gate by which ye should enter. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in the straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate. Ye have done according to the commandments of the Father. Ye have received, and ye have received the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and the Son unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if you enter in by the right way, ye should receive. And he's talking about, he's not talking about eternal life. He's talking about the Spirit, the Holy Ghost. You'll receive. You'll receive those promises, those great and precious promises that is spoken of in Peter. I can't tell you if it's 1 Peter, the first chapter, or 2 Peter, but he talks about those great and precious promises, and that's what he's talking about you would receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after you have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if it's all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it be by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him. And I love this. This is underlined five times in my Book of Mormon. Relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Anybody, what comes first to your mind that are the merits of Jesus Christ that makes him mighty to save? I don't care who answers me. Some would say, you know, he was perfect. You know, is that, well, I'll tell you what, the first thing that comes to me is the love that makes him, that's how come he is mighty to save. He has that all and abiding love for every one of us. Just like when I look down at my family, I love it. I sit at the head of that table. We got a table big enough to set all 15 of us at. And I set it to head, and I look down, and I know their faults, and I love every one of them. And that's the way he is, you know. And that's what the merit is that makes him mighty to save. That. Wherefore, ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love. We spoke about, Jonas spoke about this just before we close Sunday school, love of God and of all men, Wherefore, if ye press forward, feasting upon feasting, something that is good to have, good for you, and tastes good. Feasting, where did I leave off? Thank you. Feasting upon the words of Christ and endure to the end, that spirit, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven whereby a man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And what's that got to do with simplicity? Well, listen. And now, behold, this is the doctrine of Christ. That's it. That's it. You know, it's so simple, anyone can understand, and anyone can do it, if they will. And it's the only and true doctrine of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, which is one God. It's simple, isn't it? Now I got to ask a question. Is it difficult?
It is difficult to stay in that straight and narrow path.
Well, I tell you what, I thought that too. But you know, I don't think it is. I don't think it is. Especially when you start thinking about the choices and what the benefits of the right choice is and what happens when you make the right choice and what happens when you make the wrong choice. Is it a difficult choice? We make it difficult. But is it a difficult choice if you sit back and you look at what's going to happen? No, it's not a difficult choice. The choice is the easy. What I'm saying to you, you know, and what rubbed me the wrong way when I first started endure to the end, I wish they would. The choice is the easy way. The right choice is the easy way. The wrong choice is the difficult way. It's the one with the bumpy road. It's the one that leads to heartache and disappointment. I want to turn into the Jesus said so. I mean, he came out and he said, he told me this. He told you this. If you'll just listen to what he's saying in the 11th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to start 28 through 30. You know this. Probably most of you don't have to turn to this. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Those of you who haven't made a choice or have made the wrong choice and find out this is horrible. This is more than I can bear. This is not good. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. What? All those problems in this life, yes, those people that have those problems, good and bad, and they make the right choices and they have the Lord in their hearts, it's easy. If you don't, it's not easy. It's horrible. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's the easy way, folks. It's the easy choice. That doctrine that I read, follow after the master of men. He's the example. That's the easy way. The other way is the difficult way. We need that mindset. We need that mindset. And you know, maybe it's probably, in fact, as I know it, it's easier to look at other people and see it. You know, it really is. I mean, it really is to look at other people and say, sometimes it's hard, very difficult to self-examine and really see and acknowledge the choices that I've made in my life, the good choices and the bad choices, and then separate them and see what happened, you know? If I do, I mean, it's easier to look at other people and see it, but we need to do this with ourselves. Forgot where I was going. Isn't that awful? You know, I blame it on old age, you know? Or my wife, you know, when I don't have the answer, I blame it on my wife. Actually, I know where I'm going. I'm going to the 15th chapter of John. I'm going to start with the third verse. Actually, I think this is going to be my last scripture. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing, and ye can't survive. What choices are you going to make if the Lord is abiding in you? You're going to make the right choice. You're going to choose the easy way also, the way of the Lord. It's the easy way. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Lord, I can't handle this. My father has just died. My brother's just died. I need your help. I need your comfort. Guess what I received? Yes, an absolute sure knowledge for both of them. You know? I did. If I hadn't received that answer, I can tell you right now, when my father passed away, I would be in a loony house. I was with my father 7 days a week from the time I was this big till the time he passed away. You know, I knew all his problems. I knew all his heart problems, his cancer problems. I knew it. And I could not imagine, and my wife knew that I couldn't imagine life without my father. I worked with him 6 days a week, and I was over there all day long, and I was over there at his house Sunday all day. I couldn't imagine. And you know, and we got a call. He was down in Arkansas after he retired with my mother, you know. And I'm getting ahead of my story. But before this, I've got enough time. Before this, my father was ill. He's very ill, bad heart, aneurysm, lung cancer, you name it, he was very ill. And when I was working with him one day, he fell over and he was likened to dead. You know, he quit breathing, he turned purple, he was gone. And I was going crazy, you know, like a good Boy Scout. You know, I had my arm underneath him and I put his head back and I was breathing into his mouth, and every time I breathed in, blood came out his ears, you know. And I was going, my younger brother, who's alive, and I said, call an ambulance. This was before 911, call an ambulance, call someone. And I breathed, you know, I did this like several times. And Mike wasn't there for some reason. My younger brother was there, and he was afraid to come out. He was just afraid to come out. And I did this about four times. And I looked up to heaven and I said, "Dear God, save my father." And I breathed into him and he breathed. You know? 10 years later, I get a call from my mother, from him down in Arkansas. And he says, "Your dad's aneurysm is growing. They're going to operate." Well, I knew there's no way. He's a weak heart. He's not going to make it through an operation. They already told us there's no way. They put him out. He'll never wake up. And I was beside myself. Even though the Lord had given me another 10 years with my father, I was beside myself. And I was, "Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to do?" And I was going to go pick up Terry. I couldn't find him. Driving around, picking up Terry. Got to find Terry. Terry got out of high school. Couldn't find him. So I'm walking down the road. I picked him up. And I said, "Terry, I got something to tell you." And he says, "I know what it is. I had a dream." And he had a dream the night before. A vision, a dream, something. And he said, "We were all over at my mother's house. And we were all around my mother. We had our arms around him, my mother, and said, 'It's okay. You're going to be okay without Dad.'" And the load was lifted. I knew that it was his time. I knew it was the Lord's plan. I knew that my father would never wake up. It was a death. He gave me what I needed. I accepted it. 2 weeks later, my mother, who has never said, she's one of the finest ladies I've ever known in my life. She's will give anything to anybody all the time, okay? And she was, but not particularly ever voice her religion, although I know she is. And she was telling Mike this. She says, "You know, I was sitting, and you know, and I was sitting in the corner, dark corner, kind of, and all of a sudden it got light. And I, she says, "I don't know how I heard a voice or something." She said, "And all of a sudden, something told me his soul is secure." And she says, she told Mike that it's just, you know, one of those things, you know, and so she went on and she started knitting, and she said, all of a sudden the light got brighter. And it said, I said, "His soul is secure." And that's all she ever said, you know. Well, the Lord, in that particular time, because it was the choice that we made. I turned to him, okay, and I got, would I have made it without the Lord? No, you wouldn't see me behind this pulpit today. You wouldn't, I know it, and my wife will tell you that too. You wouldn't see me behind that pulpit. Got sidetracked, didn't I? Anyway, seven. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Hereby is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. That you make the right choices, so will you be my disciples, and your life will be easy. I've got this underlined too. And I don't know, you know, as I was preparing the sermon, this just all of a sudden stuck out at me. As the Father has loved me, as this is Jesus, as my Father loves me, so have I loved you. And I read that and my knees went weak. Think about this. Think about that. As the Father, the only begotten, loves the only begotten, so does Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of you, love you in that same all-encompassing love. Can you imagine? I can't imagine. You know? I sat there as I read that. I said, I can't imagine. You know, a voice from heaven came down and says, you know, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Well, then I have to think to myself, this is my beloved son, Steve, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him? I don't know. You know? I don't know. But I do know but that love, that all-encompassing love, he has for me and he has for you. Because it says so right there. As the Father has loved the Son, so the Son loves you as an individual. And he's not willing that any should be lost. It's not the will of the Father or the Son that any should be lost. And it's not their will that you should go through this life and be miserable. It's their will that you should go through this life happy, with joy in your heart, through the good times and through the bad times. The reward is just not in the future. The reward is here and now. The blessings are here and now. And how do I know it? If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in him. These things that have I spoken to you, what? That my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And that is the want of Jesus Christ for you here and now. And all it takes, nothing more, is making the easy choice, because that's where it leads. Here and now, it leads to joy immeasurable. It leads to everything you need to live here and abound in joy, in the love of Jesus Christ. And it's that simple, folks. It is not difficult. If you look at it and make it difficult, it's going to be difficult. If you let the things of this world, which I do, and you do, and we all do, take over and help us make those wrong choices, I and you and everyone here knows what happens. It leads to misery, unhappiness, and then we have to redo everything. Where does the right choice lead? The easy way. To joy. Absolutely. I didn't say it. The Lord said it. The Lord caused it to be written. He's written it. He said it in Matthew, in the 11th chapter. It's easy. I mean, isn't that what that says? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Don't put your own spin on that. It, the master of men, said it, and I believe it. We need to believe it. It's an easy choice to make, because we know what we would do for our own children. Read it. It's that simple. Your choices are that simple. Do not let the myriad of choices in this world that we have now confuse the issue. Choose the Lord's way, choose the right way, and choose the easy way. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Doesn't everybody here know Gladys? Like I do. Did.
Oh, Dick? Oh, yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. And you talked about Gladys is Steve's mother-in-law. And they talk about a big menu. It made me think about a big menu that I had to face. Long that high, here, here, and here. I don't know for sure what. Probably French, Spanish, and Greek, or maybe Russian, but no English. And making a choice is not simple there. I should ask for a hamburger, but the waitress wouldn't understand a hamburger. She didn't speak English. So I had one of these, and it was a poor choice. I don't know what I had, but it was a poor choice. Number 259. Would you stand, please? Again, O Heavenly Father, we wish to thank Thee for Thy love and for the protection that Thou hast given us, and pray that we might be found faithful unto thee. Forgive us where we are weak, and give us strength. Pray you would bless the food that has been prepared, that it might be used to the benefit of our body and for thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.